The West Australian government is gearing up for the state's first trial of a banned drinkers register in December. It'll start in the hot and dusty Pilbara region, the state's north, where heavy drinking and alcohol-fuelled violence are problematic. But those working on the front line are nervous, as Karen Mitchell-Moore reports.
Sweet and sour pork with rice and peas.
Each weekday afternoon, this modest soup kitchen in the backyard of South Headland's only sobering up centre dishes up meals for a hungry crowd.
Pie and beer. What's this one?
This man, who only wants to be known as Jim, has just had a meal.
Oh, it wasn't for a feed, I wouldn't have anything. Yeah. What am I going to do? Walk around scabbing up in the bins? What are we going to do? There's a lot of us like this. There's a lot of homeless people around this town. Don't worry about that.
Just down the road from the world's biggest iron ore port, this is the only soup kitchen in the Pilbara region. Using leftover food from mining work camps and local hotels, it's served close to 10,000 meals in its first year. But organiser Kelly Howlett from the Aboriginal not-for-profit Bloodwood Tree Association says it's doing more than feeding the hungry.
It's a lure. It helps bring people to the sobering up centre. If you are intoxicated, you'll have a meal, you'll feel relaxed. You might even think, I might have a shower and I might just check into the sobering up centre. That might be enough walking around and drinking for me. If we can get people off the streets, if we can get them to reduce that harmful intake of alcohol, if we've got people in a safe place, that's a win.
Alcohol addiction and violence are huge issues in the Pilbara. It's why the WA government has chosen the region for the state's first trial of a banned drinkers register. From December, anyone who wants to buy alcohol has to show ID, which will then be scanned to verify they're not on the list. Kelly Howlett worries what will happen if people with a chronic alcohol dependency are suddenly cut off. And she also warns others might mistakenly be caught up in the system.
We've got to be mindful that just because people don't have ID, they don't have a home, they don't have a wallet, they don't walk around with things, if they're a law-abiding citizen, they should have the same rights as everyone else gets to have. How will people who are banned, but also pseudo-banned, how are they going to be provided wraparound support? How will they be directed to services? How will services know that they need that support and assistance?
She also questions whether the $2 million being spent on installing the scanning technology in liquor stores could have been put to better use.
Bloodwood Tree ran a pilot. We provided support to liquor-restricted houses in South Headland. We did that for a six-month period. It cost $20,000. It helped reduce police call-outs from 62 to 19. It helped 3 people get a job, 20 people engage with drug and alcohol counselling and participate in alcohol group therapy sessions. The list goes on. That's what $20,000 could do. $2 million would make a tremendous difference throughout the region.
That's Kelly Howlett from the Bloodwood Tree Association, ending Karen Mitchell-Moore's report.